And welcome in to what could be a interesting show. By now, a lot of you have heard a lot of the news that the rest of us have about the various leagues. And I promise you that if you stick with me on this show, we are going to talk about action that happened, Atlanta United, XFL, things like that. But first, we have to address the pack of elephants in the room. And that, of course, is the coronavirus. Things we know about it. It is similar to the flu. It's a different strain, though, one we're not familiar with. For the most part, for about 90% of the people, it acts like the flu. Feel really crappy, take some good high-powered medicine, and within about, 5-6 days, you're usually over it. For other people with underlying health issues, elderly people, it can do some bigger damage. It started in China, from what we know. It spread in northern Italy, has basically shut down. Parts of it, the rest of Italy is still having crazy issues too. You got to think, Italy is dealing with it about 7 days ahead of us, 7 to 10 days ahead of us. So in order to avoid what they've went through, this is why we're doing some of the things we're doing. We're actually, I have to give people credit here. We were initially reactive. Now we're being proactive. In this country, we're being proactive. And we'll get into that in a second. But this thing, we do need to take it seriously. I don't understand why everybody is buying up the toilet paper. It's a respiratory virus, guys. I'm not sure. I don't get that part. But anyway, what we know up until this point. You guys can hear me rustling the notebook here. I'm going to try to keep track of everything. All right. What kind of set the ball rolling was late last night. We heard that the NBA was going to suspend the season, current moment, because Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz tested positive for the coronavirus. Okay. He is getting proper medical treatment. One of his teammates also tested for it earlier today, I believe. So he is getting treatment too. They are, that's NBA. NBA, is doing everything they can. They were going to continue. They were going to potentially play games with empty arenas, basically. Okay. Didn't have a problem there. So the NBA suspended indefinitely at this moment until they can figure out their game plan. Okay. I do want to throw this out before I forget it because I've almost forgot it once already. It did start in China. China, at this particular juncture, has reopened a lot of their sports leagues that are kind of back and starting to crawl out, so to say. Crawl out of the hole, so to say. Okay? So we can get through this, but this is why we're being proactive and not reactive. Proactive. We're trying to get in front of this. There are a lot of local schools in this area and other places that are closing their doors for 2 weeks, or they may be off tomorrow. Make sure you check with your local authorities and schools if you're affected by these, whether they be colleges, whether they be primary schools, if you have kids or nephews or anything like that. Check with those. But NBA, like we said, they... only a couple players so far are the infected ones, and they are doing likewise. I believe a lot of them have sent all the players to their actual homes to kind of self-quarantine themselves. Okay. So, NBA, that was the ball we were waiting to drop, so to say. They were the ones that we wanted to see. It's just like when the 9/11 attacks happened. We were looking to see what the NFL was going to do at that juncture. here we're waiting on the NBA. Not really waiting, but the NBA was going to be the major player here. Okay, so now let's go to the NCAA. First of all, March Madness tournament, not going to happen. They've officially put that away. A couple teams were already pulling out, as well as you know, a lot of postseason tournaments were already canceling out, saying, no, it's not worth the risk, even playing empty arenas, things like that. That's not something we wanted to do. But the tournament, as we know it, not going to happen at the moment. Now, it's I think it's officially canceled. Not saying they couldn't technically bring it back in the summer if they really, really wanted to. But let's not think about ourselves. Let's think about other people here. So NCAA, they make a blanket statement. Each college has made a statement as well. I know as far as teams we cover, I have already heard the Kennesaw State statement. Kennesaw State is they have canceled the spring game, the black and gold. That's fine. They have suspended a lot of school activities, including classes, for a couple weeks. They are going to see what happens from there. I think all activities are suspended indefinitely as far as sports and the other clubs and things like that. As far as Georgia State, they have canceled classes for 2 weeks. I think they are going to try to do what a lot of universities are doing and set up some online things as far as continuing education. No word yet on a lot of the other programs going on at Georgia State. No official statement from, you know, the football team or anything like that. My guess is that they're going to reevaluate this in a couple weeks, see where things are, make a statement from there. Because their spring game is about a month away, where I believe it was next week or the week after was the Kennesaw one. So, you know, getting out in front of those, all right? So now we've covered college, covered the NBA. Baseball, suspended. Their operation indefinitely. At the moment, there is no spring training, any kind of things like that. I believe they've sent everybody home. And if they haven't, then they've kept them in the general area. But for now, baseball doing the same thing. The NHL come out with their statement. They have suspended their season indefinitely at this point, which is a precautionary thing. Right now, everybody wants to wait two weeks minimal, maybe three, maybe four if we have to. If we get out in front of this thing, limit having so many people in one location at once, then maybe we can keep this thing to a minimal level, as minimal as we can keep it, which is what they're trying to do. That's it. And suspending indefinitely, or suspending a season, that's suspending, not canceling, not ending. These things can and probably will still happen. It will be a condensed rest of the season for the NHL or the NBA if they decide to do so. They might move straight into the playoffs. We don't know. The PGA. The PGA at this point has said that the Masters and other tournaments at the current juncture may be played. They're still going to be played, and that they will be played with minimal people around, as far as no fans, but crew and trainers and things like that. They're going to kind of continue, and that's kind of what NASCAR is doing at the moment. The Atlanta race and the Homestead race in Miami are going to be basically closed track, so that you know, it's going to be weird, but it's empty arenas as far as empty tracks as far as, but they're still going to race. Right there on my list, I'm going sport by sport as I can recall them. But NASCAR and PGA seem like they're going to continue at the moment. At the moment, I think until the first driver, crew, whatever, or until the first PGA person probably test positive, and then they will go from there. What have we got? We got baseball, we got basketball, the NFL. NFL is also a little different. The NFL at this particular juncture. The NFL at this particular juncture has A lot of teams are saying work remotely. A lot of travel and things like that have been canceled as far as scouting and things leading up to the not combine. That already happened. Leading up to the draft. I feel like the draft could be maybe pushed back a little bit if need be. But at the moment, they are playing it precautionary, very limited in the things they are doing. The XFL. Now, they're another different one. What did the XFL do at this particular juncture? Well, season's over. Season's over for the XFL. I think they are wisely just saying, you know what, it's not worth the risk. And, I want to congratulate everybody who was a part of the XFL, whether you're a fan, whether you're a player, a coach, whatever. Congratulations on a good debut. Is it what you wanted? No. But as my friend with the Tampa Bay Vipers said in a post, hey, you know what? This gives us a whole solid year to focus on the things we didn't get a chance to get started, to really get out there and package this thing the right way. They were already on to something there. Now they're going to be that much further ahead. They're just going to shut down the season for now. I think it's best that way because if not, you got to think they are about halfway through their season. If they shut down for a couple weeks, 2, 3, 4 weeks, that's pretty much the back half of the season. So I think it's best at this point to do what they did and just keep it rolling. Go through this again. Baseball, basketball, football, hockey, college, golf, NASCAR, XFL. I think I've hit pretty much everybody. If I missed a league, more than likely they are going to suspend their season for at least 2 weeks, if not slightly longer, in order to regroup and really get this thing going. I know that I keep saying that, but that is what we're at right now. And like I said, other parts of the world outside of Italy, especially northern Italy, that could use your prayers and thoughts for sure. Outside. Outside of that, pray for everybody anyway. But outside of the worst case scenario that is happening in Italy, things as it runs its course, there are ways to get tested. I don't know if America is going to come up with a we need to test everybody thing. If we do, it's not a bad thing. But if we continue to wash our hands, continue to be vigilant in being responsible people. This thing will not latch on. It will run its course. We will come out the other side as we always do. And we will move on. Now, I know what people are going to say, and yet it's a little selfish if you say it, but I totally get it. What are we going to do without sports for a couple weeks? Well, ESPN and CBS Sports and Fox and all those will probably reshow old footage or classic games, things like that. There will be other things on TV. Hey, here's some ideas. At the moment, one industry that's not shut down because we have it on here from last night is pro wrestling. I'm waiting to hear what they do about these kinds of things because they hold the events the same way. But at this particular juncture, WWE, New Japan, AEW, Impact Wrestling. We don't know what Lucha Underground's doing, but Ring of Honor. They are still going at the moment. Like I said, we're watching AEW from last night. It's what's on here at the studio right now. That will still be on if you're a fan of that, or here's an idea. That thing you've been meaning to do, Been meaning to tackle, maybe a new hobby, maybe a hobby you want to enhance more that you already had. Spend time, more time with family. If you don't want to do that, read a book. I'm backlogged on a few. I will probably dive into a few when we get done here. There is life without sports. And it's probably not something I would have said a couple years ago. But enjoy the other parts of life. And when sports comes back, and sports comes back, and you can jump right back in. But for now, let's move on. Let's be positive. Let's keep fighting. Show the American spirit. Let's be careful. Let's be vigilant. And we're going to make it through this. We are. Just like this show. Just like this show. Told you, there is things to talk about. And we're going to talk about those right now. Pretty much predominantly what I'm going to talk about now are the four XFL games and the two Atlanta United games. Yes, there were two. There was one last night that I stayed up probably later than I should have to watch it, given what happened. But the things we do for our hometown teams, right? Let's start with the XFL. Yet Seattle at Houston. BJ Daniels for Seattle, replacing Brandon Silvers. They're trying something. Little do we know, these were the last four games of the season. PJ Walker for Houston. PJ Walker, who is getting some attention. He had solid drives with no real results to start with. They were doing really good drives. They'd get over there and miss field goals or not get close enough and turn it over. Things happen. There was a strip sack by Jaquez Smith of Seattle that set up a good offensive drive. Daniels had the rush touchdown. The two-pointer was no good. That is 6-0 Seattle. About 3 minutes left in the first. We'll go into the second. The Seattle defense had some good pressure. They had the results early. That was part of the reason why this stayed so low scoring for a while. Sergio Castillo for Houston hits the 56-yard, or tried to hit the 56-yard field goal that went wide right. It was Seattle fumble. Houston recovered. Turns out Seattle was down by contact. They keep the ball. Trey Williams rush touchdown. The two-pointer was good. 14-0 Seattle. PJ Walker found Nick Holly for a 50-yard touchdown. The three-pointer was no good. 14-6. Seattle with the lead still there. Most of the way through the second at that point. Late first half Houston drive. It was a deep shot to Mobley that sets up the Butler rush for and the two-pointer was good. We had 14 all going into halftime. Walker found Holly for the two-point conversion. Is it Roberto Lacayo? Either way, Lacayo had the 47-yarder that was good, 17-14. Seattle retakes the lead early in the third. Walker threw an interception to Marco Myers. He returned at 52 yards, almost to the goal line. Daniels had the rush right after that. Two-pointer was no good. 23-14 Seattle at that point. Walker finds Cam Phillips for 48 yards, and then Butler rushes it in again. Three-pointer was no good. 23-20 at that point, most of the way through the third. We go into the fourth. That was the Walker interception where Jordan Martin just snatched out of nowhere, snatched it out of nowhere. Great catch. Then Walker found Phillips for the touchdown. Two-pointer was no good. 26-23. Houston with the first lead of the day. Walker to Mobley for 25 yards, and then Walker found Phillips again. One-pointer no good on that score. 32-23. Houston recovers the Seattle fumble by Daniels with about 2 minutes to go. And Gates at that point was the one who recovered the fumble. 32-23, Houston is your final. Two good teams. I enjoyed all eight teams for various reasons. And I look forward to what's going to happen next year. We already have a ninth team that they are assigning players to. I believe they have filled that team up. We're going to have a tenth as well. I don't know the cities yet, but as soon as we find out, guess who's going to tell you? We will. Like I said, this show is going to continue every week. We're gonna try our best to have some fun content, maybe change things up a little bit, but we are going to continue to talk sports. Board Check, our weekly hockey show, is going to continue to talk hockey every week. Just like Lewis Black used to say, you keep living life, you keep doing the things you're supposed to do, your daily life, because if not, the terrorists win. Well, in this case, we are not going to let the coronavirus win. We're going to continue to do the things. Hey, I got up and went to the day gig today. Come home from the day gig and I did this. That would be what I normally do on a Thursday. You guys are listening to us either live, thank you, or through a podcast or through a recording device or however you're listening to us. Thank you. It's what you would normally do. Continue to do the things you would normally do. Just be careful and vigilant. Stick by that. New York. Like I said, we're going to continue. In fact, in the next week or so, we may be debuting a new show that we're going to try out. It involves me, Jake, and John. Have more details on that as it gets closer to it. Next game, we'll see New York Guardians traveling to Dallas to take on the Renegades. The sideline reporter for this one was Cam Jordan. You know what? He was pretty darn good. Cam Jordan, man, he life after playing football, he could definitely be an analyst. He had some nice questions. He had a good delivery. He's got fashion sense. We all knew that. Good job, Cam Jordan. Course, this was Luis Perez versus Philip Nelson. Nelson found Freddie Martinez for a big gain. McGinnis kicks the 23-yard field goal, 3-0 Dallas. Great return by New York's Justin Stockton, 59-yard return. McCrane hits a 46-yard field goal. We are knotted at 3. In the second, Perez finds McKay for a big gain. McCrane hits a 34-yard field goal, 6-3. This is kind of what these two teams have been dealing with, finishing drives. This time they're at least getting field goals. 6-3 New York at that point, about midway through the second. The late Dallas drive gets chunks when needed, and the McGinnis 36-yard field goal is good. 6-6 at halftime. Compelling stuff, I know. In the third, New York was getting big yard after catches, especially big chunk plays. Marquise Williams did a dive. He's the backup quarterback, but he is also the short yardage guy. Let's see. He had the 2 yard or the he had the dive for the touchdown. The two pointer was no good. We're looking at 12-6 at that particular juncture. Perez threw an interception to Hawkins. Melee kind of ensues. Two people were ejected, and one was penalized. It was just dumb. Don't throw punches. How stupid can you be? First of all, he's wearing a helmet. Second of all, you're a professional athlete, or you're supposed to be. Act like one. Then Luis Perez, I call him Louis. Perez found Colby Pearson for an 80-yard touchdown. Two-pointer was good. That made it 22-6 New York at this point. Ryan Mueller was a defensive lineman. He bats the ball up in the air, catches the interception, then returns it for a pick six of Nelson. 27-6 New York at this point. The one-point attempt was good. That was late in the third. There was a 92-yard Austin Walker kickoff return at that point. Walter, rather. 27-12 New York. The three-pointer was no good. We go to the fourth. New York punt was fumbled by Dallas. New York covers. McCrane kicks a 26-yard field goal, 30-12. New York bats a ball up in the air. Defensive lineman Toby Johnson gets the interception. Demetrius Cox, I believe, was the one who tipped it up in the air. That leads to your final, 30-12, New York. Fun game. Score wouldn't dictate that, but that was a fun game. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all the games, but that was fun. It was different. St. Louis at DC. Of course, that'd be the Battle Hawks versus the Defenders. Jordan Te'amu versus Cardale Jones. Jones had the interception early. It became a trend. To Kenny Robinson very early. They ended up ruling that it was not enough to overturn it. DC just had some miscues, and St. Louis continued to just pound the ball on the ground early, and it just ended up being the precedent for this game. Russolino from 35 was good. It is 3-0 St. Louis as they're the first on the board. Tyree Jackson goes in at quarterback for DC. Jackson finds Kari Lee. Makes it 6-3 DC at that point. We go to the fourth. Russolino from 40 is good. We're now at 6-6. We're still in the second X, yeah. There's a punt block by St. Louis. Ty Rousa with 40-yard attempt was no good. Anthony Johnson was, there's a reason why they traded, got him from, what was it, L.A.? The dude is ridiculous. He was sack master all day long. Yeah, his trade with L.A. was great, yeah. So 6-6 at the half. Rousa comes in the third, 52-yard field goal is good. DC takes the 9-6 lead. Russolino comes back, hits a 38-yarder. Well, he would have hit it, but it was a bad snap. It was no good. Rousa comes back from 51, makes it 12-6. Become a punter, I mean a kicker battle at this point. Going into the fourth, there was a huge, huge, massive mammoth. Use any word for big you want right here. Punt block by of King. He might have got a little scraped up by it in the process by DC's Celestin and Thurman. Rousa hits a 22-yard field goal, makes it 15-6. I believe that was your final. Can't lie, I had it in front of me, and the screen reset. But I believe 15-6 was the final on that particular. Now, was this the world's best game? No, but its moments were big and worked well. We're going to go with that. It was just 15-6. Last game. Here we go. Was Tampa Bay, the Vipers, at the LA Wildcats. The first pass from Josh Johnson of LA was intercepted by Priester. Cornelius is the other quarterback. Andrew Franks from 26 was good, made it 3-0 Tampa. Jaquez Patrick had a rush touchdown, also the one-point attempt as well, made it 10-0 Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay recovers a bad LA snap. It just kept getting worse for LA. Cornelius had a 2-yard run. Yes, he can run a little bit. Devion Smith had the one-point rush that was good. That made it 17-0 Tampa Bay early in the second. Johnson to Smallwood for about 54 yards, I believe. Got it down to the goal line. Dwan Harris had the run for the touchdown there. Made it 17-6. It was nice to get LA on the board. Tampa Bay recovers a LA punt return. Once again, just kept going backwards. Them. Cornelius found Jalen Tolliver for the 16-yard score. Cornelius found Daniel Williams for the 1 point as well, 24-6 at this particular juncture. Johnson then found Daquan Hampton Johnson found Larry Rawls for the two-point attempt there. That made it 24-14. They started to kind of come back a little bit. Josh Johnson found Blacknall for 49 yards to the goal line. Then Johnson found Brandon Barnes. The two-point attempt was no good. We were at 24-20 right before the half. Franks from 57 yards out was a little short on the kick, so we go into halftime 24-20, Tampa Bay. Giorgio Tavecchio had the 55-yard attempt that hit the left upright and was no good. Johnson finds Trey McBride for the score, and the one-point attempt of Johnson to Smallwood was good there, 27-24. That moved us to the fourth. Defensive lineman Reggie Howard had the interception of Tampa Bay. Then Johnson finds Blacknall. 1 point was no good. It is 33-24 LA at this point. Franks from 25 is good, 33-27. Boogie Roberts returns a Tampa Bay strip sack fumble for a touchdown. Johnson finds McBride for the two-pointer there, 41-27. Cornelius finds Reese Hahn, I think, for 24 yards. Smith had the one-point rush there, 41-34. That ends up being your final. What a great week in XFL. Ends up being the last week. It's okay. We're going to miss the XFL, but the beer snake, I got to say, the beer snake, everybody was using their beer cups to make a long snake, and good Lord, did that thing take on a life of its own. Just Google it, and it was fantastic. Let's talk about Atlanta United real quick. Let's start with the game versus Cincinnati. It's the home opener. Adam John was starting because of the Jomar injury. He's a different style player. He's not a pesky little fireball. He is a tall, I'm not going to say statue because he doesn't stand still, but he is a big person to have to deal with in these particular boxes. And when he gets on the same page as the rest of the team, and when they all get on the same page, it is going to be great. Cincinnati's Kendall Watson got a yellow card 4 minutes in. He was aching for it. He really was. He complains a lot. In the first 15 minutes, there was chances for both. Nobody really can make anything happen. Then Barco in the 21st minute buries one in the back of the net. 34th minute, Garza for Cincinnati gets the yellow card, former Atlanta. The second 15-minute period there was, I divided up in 15s like that. Atlanta had more possession, but only had the one goal to show for it. The third 15 plus stoppage, it was more even and a lot more physical. That moves us. Right before the half. I think it's Lawrence Wyke. He just kept getting dinged in the head to where finally they pulled him out. Put in Campbell in the 43rd minute. I thought that worked out well. Those are two young guys who have stepped in at a time when people didn't think they should step in. You know, were ready to step in and all. But not that they weren't ready. It's just they didn't expect them to have to step in at this point. And they did, and they did well. We go to the second half. Amaya for Cincinnati gets a yellow the 53rd minute there. Hindman gets one the 55th minute. They both kind of deserve those. In the first 15 of the second half, it was kind of 60-40 Atlanta. It was even to a point, but there was a little bit that spurred it the other way. Kubo with a sniper spot from the top of the box. Guzon couldn't do much about it. He had to pick a side, and that thing kind of knuckleballed and went the other direction. 64th minute there. It's 1-1. Rossetto comes in for Pitti. Martinez with in the 67th minute. The second 15-minute period here is early Cincinnati goal. Then it kind of evened out. It's kind of like Cincinnati. Cincinnati continued to have charges, just that was one of their best ones. Rosetto gets the yellow in the 75th minute. Larinowicz comes in for Mulroney. Cruz gets a yellow in the 89th minute. And you get the 2-1 final. So, they're now 2-0. They're the only team that is 2-0. And, oh, see, there's another one. MLS. It's been in play for, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4. But I think they're taking a month to evaluate things. So, there you go. See, I knew I'd forget something. MLS and all the subsequent leads as well. So that moves us to the CONCACAF first leg matchup between Club America and Atlanta United. The one that happened last night, 10:30, or if you caught the replay at 4 a.m. this morning, good for you. Suarez puts in a goal 11 minutes in, makes it 1-0 Club America. Martin puts one in 2 minutes later, makes it 2-0, or Martin, rather, sorry. Valdez adds one in the 37th minute. It is 3-0 Club America. Mulroney gets a yellow in the 43rd minute. That moves us to the half, where Cordova comes in for a Barguin for Club America in the 58th minute. For Atlanta United, Castro comes in for Resetu. Valdez gets a yellow card in the 65th minute for Club America. Adam John comes in for Mulroney. Not sure why he didn't start. They were going on a matchup. I think Adam John should have started. And maybe he was tired or dinged up from the earlier match in the week. Or the one last weekend or whatever. But that's in the 66th minute. Vines comes in for Dos Santos for Club America in the 72nd minute. And Gonzalez comes in for Canceres in the 89th minute. Frank DeBoer didn't use all of his substitutions. I do not fault him for it. I don't think he thought he needed another one. But your overall score ends up being 3-0 Club America. They have the big advantage going into the second leg, which at this point could be a month down the road. It would have normally been next week, but obviously they will probably, CONCACAF will probably look at suspending their activities as well if they haven't already. But, you know, there we go. And in a time when many people didn't know what I was going to talk about, well, there was action that happened, and there's going to be action that's going to happen again. You know, I think today's sports club is going to be called Keep Moving Ahead. We appreciate you tuning in. All you people, tell your friends. If you are downloading us on iTunes or Spreaker or any of the amazing places you can get a podcast, please rate, review, let us know what you think. If you want us to talk about other stuff, hey, in the next couple weeks, we are wide open to possibilities. Might end up talking about some Quidditch. We might break down the film of Rudy's last few plays. Might talk some Burns ball. I mean, who knows what we're going to do. No, but we are going to have some serious talk. We're going to get into some other stuff too. And I hope you guys enjoy it all. But it's going to do it for us this week. Everybody who makes it an amazing thing that we can come on each and every week and talk sports and everything with you guys. Remember, we are going to continue each and every week. Please make sure to tune in and tell your buddies. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Be careful, folks. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby.